Thanks, Jennifer. Okay. So another entity form is the unincorporated association, or rather the unincorporated nonprofit association. So this also lacks the formal filing and procedural requirements of the nonprofit corporation, and actually is even less formalized than the charitable trust. For example, there's no written instrument really at all to form this type of entity, which of course means there's no associated filing or report either to form it. So even though it's not a particularly common intentional choice of entity for a charitable vehicle, these types of entities can actually still arise inadvertently. So there's something to be aware of. As long as the basic elements are met, they can come into being. And in Texas, that essentially means three members coming together for a charitable purpose. So something to keep in mind, though, with these types of entities, while there is a lack of formalization and public filing and administrative burden in general, that may seem like a potential advantage for those looking for less compliance burden. There can be some advantages to choosing a more administratively comprehensive entity form, like the nonprofit corporation. For example, seeking federal tax exemption under 501c3. Via Form 1023, which we'll discuss pretty shortly, requires inclusion of certain clauses, like I mentioned, in the Articles of Incorporation or Certificate of Formation. And that's hard to do if you lack a formal writing of any kind to form the entity. So, and also generally speaking, the statutory detail and prior case law applicable to more commonly utilized entities like the nonprofit corporation is usually more comprehensive and fleshed out than it is for less pervasive entities like the unincorporated nonprofit association. So that can potentially create some greater comfort in operating a nonprofit corporation, even if it is more administratively involved and compliance focused. Finally, just a quick side note on a more recent trend, or I suppose at least a theoretically discussed strategy of potentially avoiding the compliance requirements of Section 501c3 by simply forming a for-profit entity, like an LLC, to conduct charitable activities. While in some circumstances, LLCs can actually qualify for 501c3 status, although that's not a common strategy, what this side note is really discussing is an approach that potentially allows for greater flexibility in desired activities and at least from an IRS perspective, typically less publicly available disclosures, but with the trade-off of course, no federal income tax exemption and, you know, no deductions for charitable contributions either. But that being said, from a state-level compliance perspective, the LLC form still has filing and formal procedural requirements, sort of like the nonprofit corporation, although they're somewhat more flexible usually. Anyway, that's just a side note. These are really more outside the scope of this presentation, but just wanted to touch on it. Okay, so there's also some additional compliance considerations to keep in mind at formation. For one, like with any other filing entity, you really have to be sure to check to see if the name selected for the entity is available in your state. And further, as a compliance matter, you really should also stay on top of continuously maintaining assumed name DBA filings for any unofficial names the organization also does work under. In addition to that, there can also be other restrictions and compliance traps to run on the name. For example, in Texas, in order to use the word veteran or certain other similar words, I think some of them, yeah, they're listed on the slide, you actually have to get permission from a congressionally recognized veterans group, as well as I believe there's registration and bond filing requirements with the Secretary of State as well. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're picking a name. There are some initial reporting and compliance obligations that you have to make sure and fulfill. On another note, There is also the opportunity for nonprofit organizations to seek exemption from certain state level taxes in Texas. That usually refers to state franchise tax and state sales and use tax. Often 501c3 organizations can seek this state level exemption by showing they are exempt at the federal level from federal income tax. That's another thing to keep in mind. Lastly, this slide just lists a few other quick examples of other types of statutes in Texas that can add additional layers of initial compliance on nonprofit entities. The ones in this that are mentioned here are really, they're discussed in a later slide related to solicitation of contributions. So I think I'll wait to discuss in more detail there. But again, of course, depending on which state you're forming the nonprofit in, and depending on which states the nonprofit is conducting any operations in or fundraising, the requirements may differ to be more or less. So, and most of these examples, again, are Texas focused. But so each state's specific requirements should, of course, be particularly reviewed for proper compliance.